One in Jesus' name this morning. I was inspired with that devotional meditation. I'll be continuing that thought somewhat. We'll be looking at the steps to celebrating communion this morning. You can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look here at words of Paul. 1 Corinthians 11, we'll read verses 23 to 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The words of the Apostle Paul still ring true today. And we are continuing to practice the ordinance of communion to commemorate the death of Jesus and celebrate the new covenant that he bought for us through his blood. And this morning, as we have prepared, as we continue to prepare our hearts to celebrate this communion, I think we want to just examine three crucial steps that we all must take before we can truly celebrate communion, or until we can observe this ordinance. Let's look at these three steps. The first one is a spiritual reflection. And the message is probably somewhat more of a council service. Sorry for that. But part of this reflection we already did last night in the message there. But we'll reflect on Christ's sacrifice, first of all. Let's look at the reality of his sacrifice. There is no possible way for us to participate in communion and to be able to ignore the sacrifice of Christ. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And Brother Ralph shared that so beautifully from Isaiah 53. The sacrifice of Christ. Let's think about what Christ gave up to come to earth. When we think of where he was before, what he had before in heaven, the power that he had in heaven, he was one of the Trinity there. He was the one that was there in creation. He was the one that had the idea to create us as human beings, and that we would someday, each one of us, be a creature that could and should worship him. This power that he had in heaven to create all of the earth. And he was there, we could say, at the culmination of creation, or in heaven, where he had all the power available to himself. And then he was willing to sacrifice that to come to earth and to become the sacrifice as we just looked at. Also, closely related to that somewhat is his position in heaven, and I already mentioned that. His position as the one in supreme authority. Besides the Father, he was there in a position of power in heaven. And then obviously also his physical presence in heaven. When we think of the glory that he was experiencing there, and then his sacrifice to come down on this hard, cruel earth to live, first of all those years, and then to suffer. Which brings us to the next point. Just think of what all that caused Christ to suffer. First of all, was personal rejection. He came among his own people, and the people that should have understood who he was and what he came to do, but he was rejected by them, by his own people. And we all can kind of understand that somewhat. I think we are probably all rejected at times by people we work with, people we meet, acquaintances, and whereas that has its own hurt, but there's nothing like being rejected by our own people. And we probably don't even begin to understand what he experienced through that, but we can see how that is even deeper, that personal rejection by his own people. And we saw that in Isaiah as well. He was despised and rejected. Not only rejected, but also despised. That caused Christ to suffer. Then the next one, see his personal abandonment. And we won't go to the scriptures there, but we see how his very own friends, his comrades, the people that he walked with day by day, he ate with them, he journeyed with them, he walked the dusty paths. And those were the people that abandoned him then. I think that would have been a cause of great suffering to Christ. We think of it, hour of testing, hour of his need. That's when he needed the people to stand by him, and that's when he was abandoned. And then number three, the physically brutal death. We won't look at scripture this morning either, but we all remember and we reflect on that. The cruel means of his death, the crucifixion. Even today, I don't think there's really any form of death that much surpasses what he suffered in his death, the suffering that he faced in his physical death. So combine those, his mental anguish, his rejection by his friends, by his people, and then also his physical death. Now we'll look at the reason for his sacrifice. Why did Christ do all this? We all know why he did this, but in Romans 5, verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He realized that all of us as sinners needed to be saved, and God's love for us made the way for us then that we could be redeemed again. Christ suffered and died so that you could have a life and a relationship with the Father in heaven. Now we'll reflect on our personal lives. How has Christ transformed your life? Think for a moment about ways that Christ has changed your life. I think each one of us realizes that Christ has changed our life. And think how far you have already come in your relationship with God. I'll just pause for a moment and reflect. Look back on your life where you once were and where you are now, what Christ has done in your progression in that. Christ has transformed our lives, hasn't he? Just think about what your life would be like without Jesus. As we let our imagination run, we don't have to look very far. We don't have to imagine very much where we could be. Number two. Excuse me, sorry. How does Christ need to continue to transform your life? I think we all realize that there is much work yet for us to do, or much transforming that Christ can still do in our lives. How is your relationship with Christ? We know that some may have allowed their spiritual life to lapse. We know that some have. And the possibility is that we also have maybe certain areas we have allowed our spiritual life to lapse. And we know that there are some that have yet to begin a relationship or a real relationship with Christ. So there is still much opportunity for Christ to transform in our lives as we have today, opportunity today yet. We all have areas in our life that might need some adjustment from Christ. And just think of your personal life for just a moment, and if you think of an area or two where you could use some more of Christ's transforming power. I think it's not hard for us to, if we're honest with ourselves, to see maybe an area or two where there's still opportunity for us to avail ourselves of that power of Christ. Now the second step, let's look at spiritual release. So A, your personal need for release. I think every person carries some spiritual baggage, and probably some more than others, but everyone has some baggage in their lives. Everyone has an area or an issue or two or three in their lives that weighs them down. We'll just look at some examples of what that could be. Well, that some who cannot escape the pain of the past, and we all have pain in our past probably, and obviously some have greater pain in their past than others, and some this baggage, this weight can drag us down. I think Satan uses these weights or this baggage at times, or he tries to use that to keep us from a spiritual release. For some, it could be maybe never fully recovered from the burden of past guilt. And we all have guilt in our past that we, areas that we at times think about and we're so ashamed, but we are called to put that aside and leave that behind. But again, Satan tries to, for some individuals especially, to just keep that burden ever on them. Maybe for some, it might be a difficulty in breaking a habitual sin. And this is a baggage that can plague a person, not being able to find victory. For some, it could be unrealistic spiritual expectations. Just to think that we should be able to be at this point in our life, and yes, we will. We'll have this determination that we'll live in this certain expectation, but then before we know it, we again find out that we are human and didn't quite measure up to what we had. And that can be something that keeps us from a full spiritual release. Next, we'll look at some barriers to personal spiritual growth. And there are some barriers that I think that we all find in our lives at times. I think one would be maybe a lack of demand, or maybe we have no expectation to grow. Maybe we think at times that we are about where we need to be, and we don't really expect that we can really change much. I think that is a barrier. Or maybe we don't have a desire to grow. We don't see a reason. It's closely related to the first one, but we don't really see why we would want to be much different than we are right now. Maybe we don't have a discipline to grow. Maybe we no time to grow. Maybe we're so busy with our material world we live in that we lack the discipline to grow. And then also a lack of determination or no ability to grow. Brings us to be Christ offers you release. And we already looked at that this morning in the devotional meditation, but Christ has already paid the price. In John chapter 8, verse 36, just go to that. It says, if Christ therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So, we know that Christ did make us free. He did do everything that was required. So therefore, we know that we can be free indeed. Jesus' death and resurrection sets us free from everything that could bind us and hold us back in life. As we think of the sentence of death that was upon us, we have been given the pardon from all that, everything in the past, so that we can continue to go forward and to walk in freedom. As we think of that word, the pardon, as we think of the justice system today, if someone that has a life sentence before them and they are in prison, the governor gives them a pardon, they are allowed to go free. And think of how that would make a person feel. That is just a small aspect of the pardon that we have been given. Our eternal punishment that we have been able to avoid or escape because of the pardon through Christ. It's amazing to us, isn't it? That brings us to the next one. Christ allows you to live abundantly. Christ didn't die to set us free, to allow us to live below the level of life that we could live. He has more for us in life, but so often I think we settle for less. And as we think of that, causes us to be ashamed, doesn't it? You think of all that Christ died for. He suffered and died for us to be able to achieve so much, and then so often we just are content to half-heartedly maybe go through our Christian life. And I think that's an affront to the sacrifice of Christ. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief came not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, that they might have a life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Think of what Satan does in lives of people when we turn away from Christ compared to this abundant life that Christ gives to us. When you think of Satan as a serpent, when he injects that venom in the life of a person that turns away from God, and that you know how venom works, certain types of venom anyway, the paralyzing effect that has. At first, we can no longer run. We can barely walk. Then we sink down on our knees. Maybe we can crawl. We don't seem to, people in that situation don't even realize this progression taking place. After a while, they can't even move, and then the lungs can't even take in air anymore, and that's when the animal expires or a person expires. That's the result of Satan's control on a person when a person follows him. But on the other hand, when we take this life that Christ has for us, when we become saved, we have this instant freedom, but that freedom can continue on to continue to grow. We can continue to soar to greater heights, and I think as we go through life, if we allow the work of Christ in our hearts, our lives, there's an aspect that we continually learn to have more of this freedom. We can soar to greater heights. We can run faster, in a sense, in our spiritual lives. More vitality in our lives. Jesus wants the very best for our lives. Why would we not allow his sacrifice for us to help us to live an abundant life then? All right, and the last step, spiritual renewal. Let's look at the desire of Christ to transform your life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Christ has called us to a life of righteousness. We need to acknowledge the call of righteousness. You know, we all know that there is a call of righteousness, but we need to acknowledge that and also to answer this call, and then not just to answer, but to act on it, to walk every day, on this call of righteousness. The choice is ours. We are the only one who can choose for ourselves. And if we want spiritual renewal, it is completely up to us to make this personal decision. Will we obey the call of Christ, or will we stray? We all have that power. Christ did die and he did rise again to make a way for us. But each one of us personally, daily, moment by moment, have the ability to choose if we want to answer this call. Let's look at a few of the results and the rewards. Results of straying, obviously the first and the most biggest one is the cost would be our soul. And then also the personal separation from a relationship with God. This is a result of straying. And then also we could think a while about separation from a relationship with God. But the next one is the pain and the misery that accompanies sinful behavior. And I think we all realize that there is pain and misery, even though when we decide to stray from God, we think that there will be more freedom, there will be more fun for us. But I think we all realize that the pain and misery begins immediately, doesn't it? And maybe it takes a while for it to settle in, but eventually there will be a pain and misery that will accompany this. And then also the emptiness that haunts the fabric of our being. These are the results of straying from the call of Christ. Now let's look at the rewards of serving. And I think obviously the main one is eternity in heaven with him. And that's a subject in itself as well, but just to have that promise of being eternally with him in heaven. The next one is spiritual blessings of fellowship with God. And there are so many blessings of fellowship with God. Being able to speak to him, being able to call on him, cry to him, and feeling his comfort in our hearts, in our minds. Also, then the next one is the power, presence, and the provision of Christ in our lives on a daily basis. Just the power that we have through prayer, through relationship with Christ, feeling his presence with us. And at times, yeah, we admit that we have a hard time feeling his presence maybe with us, but we know that it is there, and we have his promises that he is always there with us. And then the last one is the sacred privilege to be called a child of God Almighty. That is a privilege to be able to be a called one of his sons and daughters. In closing, just look at a few things here. Yet, as we come to Christ's table, the communion table this morning, let's answer three questions. Have you adequately reflected on the death of Christ and his gift of grace in your life? I think we have done that in the last few days here especially, but I think it's something we need to continually do. But look at the death of Christ and what it bought for us. I think we have so much gratitude for him when we look at that honestly and see what is provided there for us. And have you experienced the spiritual release and the freedom in Christ that you need? Are we able to leave the baggage behind that we need to? Have we experienced that spiritual release? And do you see the need for spiritual renewal this morning? I think we all do realize that there is still a need for spiritual renewal. And we're so thankful that that renewal is available to us. We must come to this table of communion with calmness in our spirits, being able to rest in Christ, the life that he has given to us. Obviously, we also need to confess sins, and I think we have done that. We do that continually as the Holy Spirit brings things to our minds. We confess our sins. And then also, we need to commit our lives. That's going to be a commitment that we need to make as long as we have breath, to commit our lives to him. Let's kneel for prayer.